Hi, and welcome back to another episode of China on the Rocks, the podcast where we talk about the food and beverage industry in Shanghai and China and everywhere else and above. My name is Logan. I'm joined with my awesome co-host.
Hi, guys. It's Anna here, and welcome to our new season.
We are back in the taco truck.
Whoop, whoop.
So we have a little side bet going right now. Since we're in the truck and the restaurant is open, we're wondering, when will we be interrupted by my staff or weird noises like the door that just closed or something going on?
That doesn't count because I'm betting 20 minutes.
20 minutes? Okay. So if we hear something before the 20-minute mark, I'll owe you a beer.
Okay.
If after the 20-minute mark, you owe me a beer.
No problem. Let's do this.
Before the 20-minute mark, I already hear...
They're working, Logan. It's fine. That's not a weird noise. It's just regular noise.
Okay, so we got some shots in front of us, as is tradition.
What are we drinking today?
We're going to go back to basics because this is our first episode of the new season. So we're going with Classic John Jameson.
Classic JMO. Cheers.
Now, this will be a journey into drinking through this season. We're going to try not to ever have repeats.
Okay.
So I think it'll be fun. It'll expand our palates and, you know, just give us something new. So as we said at the top of the show, we are in the taco truck. There is a reason for that. While we're not recording someplace else, Anna?
So unfortunately, I've closed my baby bar, Post No Bills. So we closed around Chinese New Year, the Spring Festival. Baby's gone. So now our new recording spot is the taco truck.
We're back in the taco truck, recording how we used to record in those other terribly recorded seasons. But we got new stuff to do. We've had a lot of time between our break. Initially, we wanted to take a break for Chinese New Year. And just one thing led to another, and we got busy. I went to Thailand. I was there for a little while. I got to drink alcohol out of a bucket, which was amazing and life-changing.
Logan is new to the bucket.
I'm very bucket friendly. I'm bucket friendly. I won best mixologist of the year for that Shanghai for the editor's choice, so that was pretty cool. The distillery I work with, High Seas Distillery, won best distillery of the year, which was very, very cool. They also got some double gold for 2023 in the Shanghai, in the San Francisco Whiskey and Spirits Awards. So it was a pretty big deal.
Classy, yeah.
So hopefully in October we'll be in San Francisco accepting some big, big, big awards, which I'm looking forward to.
And maybe we should record a San Francisco episode. It'll be fun over here.
Yeah, we'll do a Zoom.
Yeah, we'll do a Zoom San Francisco edition.
We actually tried to do a Zoom during lockdown, and it did not work out. It was actually bad.
But we know more about the technology nowadays. I think we're better at like this remote stuff. I think we can handle it. I think we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, normally when we record, we actually have full-on recording gear now. The only issue is for some reason we don't have our headphones. They're not working, so we shouldn't sound weird, but if we do, it's your fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault, listeners.
Listeners, fix your equalizers.
So, a lot has changed since our last season. The weather is amazing. It's beautiful. It's hot. It's spring. The allergies are all flourishing.
Yeah, it's allergy central here. It's crazy.
So, a fun fact for people at home, Shanghai has this time of year where, like, it's legit spring. And all the trees here, they were brought from France many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, I think, or maybe 100 years ago. And they put out this fluffy seed thing flying in the air to the point that it looks like snow at places, like it covers the floor, and they are incredible allergens.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Thankfully, you could get like Claritin and stuff delivered through delivery apps, but no, like it's really bad. Like there was a couple days where I wasn't drinking at all, and I kept waking over thinking I had a hangover, and I was like, this is so weird. And it was just the pollen in the air. Like, my face was feeling... You know how it is when you have really bad allergies?
Yeah, we wear masks and glasses.
It was gross.
Yeah. And it's not even that bad yet.
But thankfully, I mean, it's beautiful out. I've got shorts on. Anna's got shorts on. It's one of those first really nice days of spring. We know it's going to start raining again soon, but...
We don't talk about it.
Yeah, F&B, we always... They give it and they take with F&B.
It's also interesting because Shanghai has such great weather at times, but also is a very rainy city in general. Like, mm-hmm. It rains a lot in Shanghai, guys. So, in the winter, it's a very wet winter full of rain. Then in the summer, it gets so hot that creates a lot of, like, summer storms.
Yeah, it gets really hot here. But, like, we'll have it last summer and the summer before, 42, 45, so over 100. Not unusual.
Yeah, and they have the plum rains, which happens right when summer begins. And the reason it's called plum rings is because coincides with the plum season, I guess because of the amount of rain, but it's 2 to 3 weeks of nonstop torrential rain.
Yeah, yay. We're so excited about that.
But on the good side, when the weather gets good before the plum rains, there's a lot of markets in the city.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk about markets today. We were thinking as we're, so Anna and I actually, and you're not going to believe this, we planned out our episode.
For the first time in a long time.
It's not just the ramblings of two lunatics in a bar with unlimited booze. We actually planned out what we talk about. So we thought we'd talk about markets and festivals. That's what's going on right now. So Anna, for you, when you do a pop-up or a festival, do you focus on mostly booze or booze and food?
Depends. So for the ones at home, basically, I think because of a need for new things in Shanghai, there are a lot of this weekend market. So they are usually all day. They'll start at like 10, 11 a.m. and they'll go until around 10 p.m. A lot of them have live music and a lot of them have cool activities and they have different themes. At this time of year, basically every weekend, there's a couple markets in town and people love it. People hit those all day and they're dog friendly and all that. Depending on the market, though, the price can be really high for a booth. So generally, for the very expensive ones, I like to partner up with somebody so we split the costs and we can have two streams of revenue, right? So we can have the revenue from the food and the revenue from the drinks, and you know, we'll just decorate kind of half and half, or we create a co-branding together. Now, for the smaller markets, they're like cheaper to rent a booth, then I'd usually just do drinks because, surprisingly, there's a lot of food in markets. There's not always a lot of booze.
Yeah, boozy markets are the most fun. Like Feast is always a good one. That's run by our friend Camden Hagi. And that's super fun. It's a lot of chefs and bars. So I'll be at that this year for sure. For Tacolicious, we've got two markets we're involved with. And then for High Seas Distillery, we've got another one or two coming up. And the markets, we just did one about a month ago or 2 months ago, right around St. Paddy's Day. And that was a fun alcohol forward one. And that was a very fun market just to get yourself back in the swing of markets, you know?
I went to one on the Sunday just as a customer, and it was created by the people at Common Rare. It was a design market, and they had over 200 vendors. So it was actually quite big in a big park. It was dog friendly, but my dog was very scared of the amount of people, dogs. But there were a couple of our friends at POW. They make awesome sodas and awesome alcoholic seltzers and gin cocktails, like pre-bottled, and a few of our beer friends, but mostly was design. But it was really cool. And I also think that for the sheer amount of people, there's enough people, even if half of the people are not drinking, you're still like, it's still, you can make a profit on those. And, you know, you did Christmas markets and all that. They can be like great sources of revenue because... Yeah. They feel special. It feels like you're doing something different when you go to one of them. So you kind of don't care. You kind of just go a little further than you would.
Yeah, I mean, I it's so interesting because I didn't grow up going to markets.
Me neither, yeah.
I never saw like Christmas market till I came here. And generally because I work on the weekends anyway, I generally don't go to markets unless I'm working them. So I have no reference unless I'm at work.
For me, a little bit. Yeah, it's a newest thing, but I've been trying to go more often just because it's nice to do something outdoors sometimes. And I think outdoor adult events are quite rare.
Mm.
So except for the markets or maybe like a rooftop or a brunch, there isn't really a lot of, unless you're just going to go for a run, right? Like, what do you do outside during the day in a park?
Oh, yeah, nothing.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can do a picnic here and there, but it gets old fast, right?
Yeah, so you smoke cigars, drink wine.
It's so healthy.
Well, you were the one that wanted to be outside.
Yeah, I guess.
So when you're at a market, like, what are your go-to drinks that you make?
I'll always make cocktails, but weirdly, beers and gin and tonics are, like, the biggest sellers usually.
What I used to do, like, especially when we had Logan's Punch, was we'd do, obviously, a big punch. And big punches, I still do them for markets because of that. People like a good punch. If it's in a presentation, because it's super easy to pour out. Like, if it's a super hot day, I don't like to do it if there's mosquitoes. But, like, a day like today, it's before the mosquitoes are really out in Shanghai. It's perfect to have a punch out. People are like, oh, what is this huge bowl of booze you have?
They even have those big glass jars that have a cover, the metallic thing you screw on. Like, they're like a big mason jar.
Yeah.
And they have a little tap on them.
Yeah.
So you can serve out punch. That's actually a great idea.
Huh, the punches are fun. So it's just pre-batched. It's super easy to do. It's fun. You make if you do that, the big jars, you do like a bunch of colorful different ones. You know what I mean?
If you could add a fun thing to the markets, what would it be? If you could add something that you don't feel like people are doing.
Topless.
Okay, legal in Shanghai.
Oh, I could be topless.
Well, you can. I can't.
Oh, I mean, if I don't know what people are like. I feel like we have a friend, Lauren, who does these really cool alcohol-infused ice creams. And her company got really big. She's based in Shanghai. She does amazing stuff. And I think they're getting on airplanes and stuff now. Like, it really, really blew up. And for the life of me, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember the name of it. But we did Feast with her last year, and she had her booth there. And it was so much fun trying her ice creams. It was, but like, I think ice cream is such a fire thing in China. Like, people love ice cream here. I love ice cream. As we were walking here, I said,
I love
get
ice cream, yeah.
I mean, maybe after the show, we could get ice cream.
Yeah, for me, I think that I really miss, like,
but
games.
Ice cream, I think. Games are fun, but it's, these markets get too crowded, and then you have a bottleneck, and that's not good.
Yeah, I'm not thinking about, like a boofing, but I'm thinking more about, like, areas with, like, cornhole and tables for beer pong or something. Because sometimes when you walk in those markets, if you found one of your homies working at a booth, sure, you stick around and you have some drinks and you talk. But if you go to a market that you don't know anyone, you kind of just end up like floating around. And I feel like games are kind of a good icebreaker.
Mm. I mean, yeah, that's games are fun. Like, you have at all these markets, a lot of times you have a DJ or there's bands or singers, which is kind of cool. I think, like, some of them, like, we used to have this really cool one back in the day called Beer Nanza. And actually, as we sit in the taco truck, I'll point you over that direction. That's a picture of Dice and I at Beer, the first one that we did. So we actually, what's the term about your teeth? We got into the Talklicious game at one of those markets. And those markets are a lot of fun with food and drinks and little stalls.
They had games.
They had games. I don't know. I was working.
Yeah, I went.
I've never been without working to a market, so.
They had it, yeah. Yeah, I missed those, but yeah.
But that's a good thing. I mean, we did one. I was hosted one at the Cannery, the California one. And that one, we had to host a bunch of games. And so we did, like, Tug of War. We did a Limbo competition. We did a bunch of fun games. And you're right, it is fun to have. Like, people have a couple drinks. Everybody wants to play Tug of War, and you make friends.
And also, the Cannery does a good thing because they do, like, a dog fashion show, too.
Yeah.
And I remember they had my dogs. One of them always wins. The other one, not. But, hey, not all of them can be gorgeous.
So, yeah, I think a pre-batch is really good for these kind of festival ideas, like punches and stuff like that. Obviously, you just have ice or something. You know what I'm thinking? Mm. Shape. Because I grew up in New Jersey, water ice.
Like, or shaved ice, you mean?
Well, shaved ice is different than water ice.
What anybody is water ice?
Water ice is served out of a trash can by a guy in a white tank top named, like,
Jerry.
Vito.
Oh, Vito, okay.
And it's, like, blue color.
Oh.
And I don't know what water ice is, but it's amazing. It's a very New Jersey thing.
So they add the syrup ahead of time?
Yeah. It's a clean trash can. You know?
Yeah, yeah, no,
but they sell them all
but
over the city. It's in Elizabeth. They sell them everywhere. But I mean, something even like shaved ice would be really fun. Like boozy shaved ice.
Shaved ice would be really fun, actually. Hey, an idea here for the next market.
Yeah. I mean, we have a market coming up, and I've done boozy ice creams. But as I said, my friend Lauren already perfected her thing. But shaved ice, if you could do it without melting the ice, is a lot of fun. Or even non-boozy shaved ice. Not everything has
shaved
to be
ice. Al- is just fun, yeah.
Yeah, not everything has to be alcohol.
Especially on the heat of Shanghai.
Yeah.
And I feel like, as much as I love ice cream and I can have unlimited amount, I think most people take it as a treat and they're not going to have that much.
Actually, I'm going to start doing shaved ice. Good.
You can have like a massive bowl of shaved ice and feel guilt-free because it's basically water.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing shaved ice at the markets.
Hey,
good
let's do
move.
It.
Boom.
Let's do a pop-up.
Because all I have to do is I have the ice shaving machine. You just put the ice in, boom, boom, boom. You have your own.
Yeah, throw up some flavors and done.
I'll make some new flavors myself. Boom, done.
Look at that.
Look at this. This is podcast paying off.
Yes.
Dividends.
Brainstorming. And now, with that, we can go to our next segment.
Next segment. Okay. Anna's chugging along. What do we got, Anna?
I am organized today. I have my eye on the prize. So we decided that since we are a little short on horror stories lately, our customers have been good with us.
Yes.
It's been a good time. We decided to read some Reddit stories. So why not get some of the horror stories from the internet?
I will say, and this is not to derail the Reddit thing, but we had a broken urinal last week, and this happens at bars.
Did you put a sign that it was broken?
100% sign up that was broken. Don't use it. There's a urinal and a toilet seat right next to it. It's a one-person male bathroom, and of course, everybody kept trying to use the urinal, saying, oh, it's not flushing. It's like, what's the big sign say? Oh, I didn't think it was for me. Like, I don't know what it is.
Not for you. No, it's just for the special
people.
Yeah,
it's just for display. Like, and we're like, what is wrong with you people? You can't read a sign. Like, it was covered. And people were just peeing over it.
It has happened to me the same exact thing. And people just don't, like, refusing. And you're like, damn it. Yeah. Just cleaning it when it's not working is the worst.
Yeah, it's... Anyway, that was not a horror story, but just an annoying story.
It's still a horror story. Yeah. Cleaning pits, never fun.
Poor IE.
So let's start with a Reddit story about bartending. So the first one is from Am I the Asshole.
Okay.
All right. Am I the asshole for not dancing on the bar at work? I'm a bartender. Long story short, I'm a bartender at a nightclub. And a manager came up to the bar while we were super busy and told me that I had to get on top of the bar and dance. I told her I wasn't going to do that. I didn't feel comfortable climbing up onto a wet bar and dancing. And we were really busy. She got mad, got an attitude, and said, yes, you are. It's your job. I didn't get up and danced, and nobody else at my bar did, but the bartenders at other bars around this nightclub did. I got pulled aside and yelled at by the management, and they sent me home at the end of the night without giving me my tips because I didn't get up to dance. Now I might get fired. Am I the asshole for refusing to dance on the bar?
I feel like there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, there are layers.
There's layers, because I feel like this person was definitely a nerd. Like, not a... when I'm at work in a nightclub, you have to get me off the bar. Because I've gone to other people's guest shifts, got on the bar, and poured shots.
For me, I think... I do the same. I mean, I'm known for that.
Yeah.
Getting on top of the bar. But I think the issue for me is that if management doesn't want somebody that's unwilling to get on the bar, it's fine. But she still worked a full shift. She should have got her tips.
Yeah, she should have got her tips, but I feel like there was an underlying cause. They're not going to fire her for that. Like, if she's going on Reddit to complain, I bet she has a tattletale, too.
Well, I kind of...
Oh, wait, we know it's a she?
Yeah, she says she.
Oh, okay.
I have a feeling that it's a little more... I think the manager might have fired her because she talked back at her.
Yeah.
It was more like in the sense of, like, I told you to do something, and you refuse... And it made her kind of lose power in front of other people, because then why would the other people follow the manager if you don't?
I could just see her, though, not being on the bar dancing when all of her other coworkers at all the other bars in the nightclub are dancing on the bar, and she's just got her arms crossed, like, making faces.
Yeah.
I don't know, killing the vibe.
But I'll say that, like, just, okay, allowing your bartenders that if they're having fun, they can get on top of the bar and give a layback is one thing, then making it mandatory.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
Like, right now,
yeah.
Get on top of the bar, dance monkey, you know, kind of thing. Like, it's a bit...
I mean, I was in Vegas in October of last year, and there's a bar, there's this really cool street where it's all old Vegas, and they have this bar there, and it started with a D, and all the dealers, all women that are the dealers for all the tables, and they're kind of in bikinis and stuff, and then every hour, half of them get up and dance on the tables in the casino. It's super weird.
But...
I was just thinking the same kind of thing. Like, I don't think they signed up for that because they're certified gambling dealers. Like, well, you don't say, like, I want to do that and also deal blackjack.
Yeah, but I think that maybe when they went for the job interview, they were like, hey, just so you know, the expectation here is that every hour we do, like, a dance thing in a bikini, blah, blah, blah. If you're not comfortable, then it might not be the right place for you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we missed this context. Has a nightclub hire her and told her, like, at midnight, all the bartenders have to get on top of the bar and dance?
Yeah.
Or... did the manager just have a whim? They're like, oh, that would be really fun if all the bartenders got on top of the bar. You would do that right now. And she's like, I didn't sign up for this, right?
I don't think it's cool that she didn't get her tips.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if she's going to be fired or not. I don't really... Like I said, maybe it's for the best for her. Maybe she's not cut out to work in a bar, like a nightclub.
Yeah.
Because it does take a different sort of people for nightclubs versus bars.
Although, like, I have a related story. I worked at a casino in Macau. I will not say the name because I left in bad terms. But when I interviewed for the job, they had a... I worked in, like, as a... You know, you just serve drinks at the casino floor, right? So kind of like a hostess kind of thing, but serving drinks. And I... the uniform is a little skimpy, but it was nice. It was, like, well-designed, right? It was like... imagine a suit, but it's like a crop top suit. Like, it's kind of like... No, I don't know how to explain. It's a zipped up. It's like a... you know those girls who like the Price is Right or something? And
yeah,
they,
of
like,
course, yeah.
So it's an outfit,
I know,
like,
I know what a cocktail waitress looks like in a casino.
Yeah, so he has like mini skirt. The top is like a crop top, but it's good quality. It's like nice. It's tasteful. It's like, you know, they're trying to expose you a little bit, but it's tasteful. So I worked there for 6 months, and I was totally okay with the uniform and all that. And we have to wear high heels, which is exhausting because you work 12-hour shifts, right? And it was October, so it was International Women's Day. So they wanted to do some, sorry, not International Women's Day, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So they wanted to do something special for the ladies. And our casino manager was a guy from Vegas. And he was an asshole. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He bought on the internet these outfits for us to wear. And no disrespect to anybody that works in the, like a dancer at a club, but they were like stripper wear. And they were so small. They were basically a bunch of, do you know the Fifth Element? And she has that dress that's just a bunch of...
Yeah, the orange straps.
Just the straps?
Yeah.
It was basically a whole outfit that was pink with just straps. And it was so uncomfortable because things kept like slipping. And I just felt like that I wasn't doing the right job. So I refused to wear it after a few days because I'm like, I'm just so uncomfortable. And the guys are looking weird. You know, it's just an outfit that is like... And also, I didn't sign up for it. And I told the guy, I'm like, the contract says that we have to wear the uniform, but this is not our uniform. This is like a special thing. And he's like, well, if I decide it's the uniform, it's the uniform. So you have to wear. And a similar thing happened. I just walked off. I'm like, I'm not. So either you call me back for my tomorrow shift and I'll wear the normal uniform or I'm not comfortable wearing this.
Yeah.
And I ended up leaving the job because of that. But it was kind of spurred on me. Like, I was okay with the skimpy uniform as it was, but I wasn't okay with the new outfit. So.
Well, you're not the asshole for that. That's also over multiple days.
Yeah. That was supposed to be a whole month wearing it. And after a week and like drunk guys going around and like smacking your butt kind of thing because the dress is that skimpy, I was like, no, I'm just not doing this.
Or you can post these photos of the other cocktail servers on Instagram?
I don't know. I don't even know if I have photos. I might. I might look for them. I might have it.
The one time we post on Instagram.
It's like a photo of me. Like a small.
Also, that gives me a second to say, if you guys are listening to this on Spotify, pull down and you could actually leave comments on your Spotify.
Oh, that'll be fun. Leave Spotify comments for us. We like comments. We like hearing from you guys.
We always update this with the full-on transcript. So on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, you should be able to have a full transcript of our bubbling conversations.
And now, another story.
So what did we say? Is she the asshole or not the
asshole? Oh, yeah. What's the verdict? I think everybody's the asshole here.
Yeah, I'm going to say she was within her rights to say no.
I think she was in the right to say no. I think she should have got her tips. I don't think this is necessary to go on Reddit and discuss. I think it's something that she just could have like had a conversation with them. I feel like
that's what I was saying. That's why I got like a vibe from her. But
yeah, like I think that, yeah, it's warrants the conversation. But I don't know if it's like
it's wiki weird.
Yeah. Now this one is a bit more interesting. I think we'll start more discussion here. Am I the asshole for asking the bartender at my sister's wedding to take down their chip bar? Sorry, guys. Their tip jar from the bar.
That was a hard one. A tip jar from the bar.
I know. I got all stuck there. Anyway, I'll read the post. So this happened a few years ago at my sister's wedding. My parents were paying for a large portion of the wedding and were paying for the open bar. The bartender was getting paid $350 for 5 hours of work, and we provided all the alcohol. When the bartender set up at the wedding, we noticed that she pulled out a large glass fishbowl, pre-filled with a little bit of cash, and placed it on the bar to try to encourage tips from guests. I've worked in the food industry for many years.
Also, red flag.
Yeah, every time somebody has to tell you, you're like, But yeah, continue. I understand a huge portion of a bartender's salary come from tips, but we found this to be tacky as in an open bar, I do not believe tips are expected from the wedding guests. I feel like that kind of defeats the purpose of the open bar. Guests often don't have cash on them, and the person who hired the bartender is usually expected to tip a large sum at the end of the night because of that. So my father and I asked the bartender, if we tipped $150 now, could she please take down the fishbowl of money from the top of the bar? We explained that she could still accept tips if they were offered, but we didn't want the guests to feel like they had to tip. The bartender did not like this and told us she typically makes more than $150 a night in tips and refused to take the tip jar out of sight. We then got the wedding organizer to talk to her with our $150 in hand, and she half hid the tip jar behind some stuff at the bar, but you could definitely still see it. And we went on with the night and pretended that it was good enough. Am I the asshole?
So my hot take is this bartender was trying to double dip a bit because they didn't say you can't take a tip. And it's kind of generally in the U.S., you're going to give tips when you get drinks. If they gave her $150 like seed money to start her off with, and they also gave her $350, in the guest mind, they're thinking, we've gave her $500. That's a great night, which is a great night for tips. But is it a Friday night? Is it a Saturday night? Is she taking off a shift from her other work? So there's other things that could be happening in the background. Not the wedding guests, or the wedding people's fault, not the guest's fault. She could have easily put the tip jar down and just, hey, oh, thanks for the tip, you know, whatever. You know, some people might have asked, do you have a tip jar? That does happen. You're like, oh, I have it right here. They just asked me to keep it down.
Sure, yeah. I think that I think that the person writing the post is not the asshole too. I think that they allow the guests to still tip. And I think that sometimes they'll just tip without even asking. They'll just give you money, which is fine. But I understand, because when there's a tip jar, the wedding guests might not know that the bartender has already been paid an amount or something. So they might feel like every time they order a drink, they need to give her a dollar or something. And at weddings, it can become, you know, especially because it's supposed to be, oh, you can drink. Can it become a little of a social pressure of like, every time you go get a drink, you need to tip. And it's like the people organizing it, they're paying this money to have their guests just be able to drink and have fun and not worry about like their budget or something like that, right? So it can be a bit. Also, yeah, I don't really take cash to a wedding.
I mean, so we discussed this a little bit before we record it. And we were talking about in Seinfeld, there's an episode where like George Costanza, I think he's at a pizza place. And he loves the pizza and he loves everything and he tips. And like he tips like a $20 bill.
And the person turns around when he does it, right?
The person turns around, they don't see him tip. And so like he keeps like saying, like he tries to take the money out and it gets really big, you know.
They think they're trying to steal the money.
Yeah, it's a very Seinfeld-y thing. But I was saying like when I go to weddings, I always like anything open bar, I always leave like a $20 tip. Like in the States, I always carry cash. In China, we don't carry cash, but people would have a QR code. But what I'm saying is like we found a solution to this Seinfeld issue. Like, because I always come and I'll drop a $20. If I know it's like a big thing that's open bar for like 5 hours, I'll put a 50 in. But they'll see me that I'm right away. They'll come to me right away. But the trick is, if they don't see you, from now on, I'm going to write my name on the bill.
And if they're complaining, you're like, there's my name on it.
Look, it says Logan. Here it is right here.
No, because I feel
sorry,
like,
it's a $5 bill. I thought I said $50.
I've never been to a American wedding. So I guess if somebody's inviting me to their wedding and it's open bar, and they inform that, I kind of don't think about it. I don't tip.
Yeah, but you're going to... So let's say you're in San Francisco. If you're having a wedding in San Francisco or like any major city, you're going to valet park your car because a lot of people drive, right? So you're going to give money for the valet. Tipping culture is a big difference and you're going to have cash on you. But at the same time, this bartender shouldn't have kept putting the tip jar out. I think she was wrong. You know, $500 isn't a bad haul because she's getting $350 for just being there and then $150 for
and also she might still get tips randomly from people would offer tips anyway.
Like, I think if you kept putting up the tip jar, that's petty, unless they're asking, hey, do you have a tip jar? Oh, here it is. Boom.
Yeah.
Put it under.
I agree with that, yeah. I'm not opposed to her getting tips. It's not the issue. I think it's more like she's taking her wedding, the person's wedding, as kind of like a market. And it's like, ladies, it's their wedding. They probably want a certain look and a certain lack of pressure and feel like... Also, okay, in this post, we know how much this bartender got paid. But I know that in some fancy weddings, the bartenders might get paid a lot more. We're talking about like a couple thousands each.
Yeah, exactly.
So at that point, I feel like it would be really tacky to have
No, you pay me a couple thousand. There's no tip jar up.
Yeah, like, so...
I do have QR codes, though.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to tip, I just don't know. Yeah, I feel like... I don't know. I want to side with the bartender. Obviously, girl, go make your money. But I think that tip jar on a wedding, it's a bit... Unless it's totally relaxed and everything's like food trucks and all that, and you have all these tip jars for all the vendors and all that, sure.
What do you guys think? You could leave a comment in, like we told you how to leave comments, but let us know. I feel like, don't you have one that somebody's clearly an asshole?
No, I only got us the hard ones to discuss if it's obviously an asshole, but I can prepare for next week. Yeah, I can find some real assholes.
Let's get some real assholes. Okay, I think, honestly, I think that the host of the event was right. But the bartender was being a jerk and an asshole. I think we have time for one more, Anna. What do you got?
One more? Okay, let me open up. Hold on, I'll go on the Reddit. Another one for, should we do a wedding one or another tip one?
Dealer's choice.
Let's do a tip one because I don't know, I haven't read. Oh, but this is not the asshole as well. Let me see if I have an asshole one. No. None of them, they are the assholes. So I guess I had a selection of very, like...
You're very specific in your selections.
Okay. So, am I the asshole for not wanting to tip a bartender who just gave me water? Okay.
Oh, you're an asshole.
Let me read the story. Let's see. Before COVID, a couple friends and I went to a club together. The cover was pretty expensive, around $25. We were having lots of fun, partying, and just overall having a great night. We had pre-drank before getting to the club, so we were all pretty drunk and didn't want to buy any more drinks. I went to a bartender and asked for a couple glasses of water. Where I'm from, it's typically given for free. She said she wouldn't give me the water unless we tipped her. We thought it was weird, but we were so thirsty, so we agreed to pay. She was going to charge us $10 as a tip for 4 glasses of water. We agree, but when I went to pay, my card was declined. I tried once more, and it was declined again. I told her I was just not going to tip because, in my opinion, tipping is optional and water is free. So 15% of nothing is nothing. I just walked off away from the bar, and she was yelling at us to come back and pay. I honestly don't think I'm the asshole, but my friend group is undecided. We pay a pretty hefty cover to come into the club, and if anything, for that price, water should be included. And I'm not sure, but I feel like it's illegal to refuse to serve somebody water. To clarify, she was not charging us for the water, it was tap water. She demanded that we tip her for serving us water. Allegedly, she had to tip out on that order, or she had to pay money from her own pocket to serve us. But I don't think that that's true. She made no money on that order, so why should she get a tip? If I bought a drink, I would have obviously have tipped her.
Yeah, she's the asshole.
The bartender, you mean? Or the
no,
person?
No, the customer. She's an asshole.
I think that, I don't know, I think that everybody's the asshole here because $15 for 4 glasses of water from tap is a lot. It's $1 a glass of water. Come
but
on.
But it's fake then because you're not going to charge a credit card for a tip.
You're not going to, well, they didn't have cash.
Yeah, but how are you going to charge $10? It's not going to your tip jar. That's going for a sale.
So they were charging for water.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that
that's red flag one. Red flag two is they came in drunk already, right?
Yeah.
And they're just hanging out at a club having water all day. People charge for bottles of water.
That was the part that I found was like, so you drank before. I get it. That is a big cover charge. It's fine. I'm mixed on this. Okay, let me break it down. I think the charge was high. So yes, they could go to a club and they're paying the cover. So they could just go there to enjoy the music. Like, it's fine, right? That's not the problem here. Now... them making that point that we were not going to spend money there and we were decided already that we're not going to buy any drinks is one problem. But now I feel like, yes, if you're selling bottles of water, you should sell. But if somebody is intoxicated and they're asking for water, like tap water, I also think it's really irresponsible to not serve them over some money issue because, you know, people get really drunk in clubs and shit happens. Like,
well, yeah, but remember, she's not drinking at the club, so she's coming in hot.
Well, they, I think they're guys, I don't know, but...
or he, whoever, they're coming in hot.
Sure, but they still might collapse and get into, like, vomiting or get really sick in your place, right?
Yeah.
They still might cause trouble for lack of, like, hydration in your place, regardless of
where
they
drink.
I mean,
the first thing that would happen, though, if that happened, like, let's say they passed out and collapsed in the hospital, the EMTs had to come, the first thing they would check was the cameras to see, oh, who was serving them? And like, oh, nobody served them anything.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying necessarily legal trouble, but what a weird night would it be if there's a couple of drunk guys being completely unruly and they could drink some water and be a bit better,
yeah,
right?
But if, like, it's enough people, like, if people come up to me, like, especially when I worked in nightclubs, and they weren't spending any money and just water, I'd give the first water or two for free. But yeah, no, we have bottled water here.
Sure, I get that. I think that after a while, sure, but I think...
we don't know if she was, honestly, the $10 thing throws me off because I don't think somebody's going to be like $10 for a tip. Unless she does a zero charge.
No, I had that before.
She could do a $1 charge and ask for like a tip.
Yeah, I think that's what she was doing because they didn't have cash. She's like, okay, I'll just charge $1, but they have to tip like 9 more, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I've been in places in the U.S. that have done stuff like that.
Well, if it's places that people are going to be on drugs, then yes, you're not giving out free water because you're not making any money on booze.
Yeah. No, but
I feel like when I'm thinking of the cover for this...
thinking it's like a
rave club or like a dance club.
Sure.
And then yes, they are going to charge for water.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm only thinking like on the side of like responsible or not about having people be so wasted that like let's say that they are doing other stuff, some illicit substances.
Yeah, that's what it seems like was going on.
Yeah, they were really thirsty, but still, like, I think they can get really sick.
I think for the next time we do this, when you pull out the questions, why don't you pull out two pro and con ones that other people say? Then we can have our discussion, and then you can say, okay, people said this and people said that.
I can read the top comment.
Yeah, because that's kind of, because I think it's interesting, you know?
Okay.
So I think the lady's an asshole. I mean, I would give her water, but she's still an asshole.
Okay, the top comment has 1,500 upvotes. Not the asshole. She was an asshole for asking for a tip. If the water is indeed free, which should be, but you never know, some places might charge for water, which is definitely weird. She shouldn't be yelling or demanding or even insisting someone give her a tip. That's a top comment. Any opinions on that one?
I've worked at places like, okay, so if a place is doing like a salsa night, generally the place...
They only drink water and they don't...
Drink water. I mean, they're paying a fee to get in. That might be what this is also, like a dance night. You're not making any money at the restaurant or bar. The only people making money is the promoter. And so it's like, they'll just come to the bar, let me have a water, let me have a water, let me have a water.
This sounded to be like a night out, like a Friday or something, a night out. Doesn't it feel like it was like, I went to this special event and I just wanted to drink water? I feel like, yeah, I would agree on selling for it. But also people in the salsa night are not on drugs or wasted.
Yeah, but they're just asking for water the whole time.
Yeah. But I would charge or sell bottles.
Then you're selling bottles of water, yeah.
So this is the second top comment. I personally will always tip a bartender $1 for water if it's busy and I'm still occupying their space and time. I agree with that. But this bartender's demand sounds outrageous. Even in fancy clubs, I've never tipped more than $1 for a cup of water. And I have never seen a bartender react so poorly on that. I'm starting to agree that maybe he was confused and think that she was asking for tips and she was asking for payment because it was bottled water.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about the credit card. That's what the red flag
to me was. I'm thinking that the reason why she's yelling is because basically you're losing material. I think that as much as I would expect a tip if I'm like serving some drunk person that's not buying drinks, I wouldn't be yelling. I wouldn't waste my energy starting this fight over a tip over water. Also, it was weird to expect $10 tip for 4 glasses of water.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the water bottles are $2.50 each. That's what she's doing.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Because I think...
Math.
I might be wrong, but I do drink alcohol at the clubs too. When I went to the clubs in New York, like, I will buy drinks and tip. And then for the first couple glasses of water that I'm having in between, I'll tip $1. But then after a while, I'm also like, can I just have a glass of water? Because, you know, I've been spending good money here. Like, but I never had an issue, but I think it's because I kind of create that rapport first, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm tipping. And then later on, they're just like, I don't want to just take a glass of water, right? Yeah. So, because you are spending.
Yeah, you're still spending. But, I mean... Just you pay the $25, and then you go and you're like, we're not going to spend any more money here. We got drunk outside. I mean, that's just being cheap, too.
Okay, so the Reddit result is not the asshole.
Mm.
But again, they're believing. We don't know through the story how it's written would be not the asshole. But it's sounding more and more like they were selling the water. Yeah, that she was trying to get the charge for it and then hoping there was tips on top. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's complicated when you hear one side of a story. But it's like people, like red flags you always hear with F&B. It's like, oh, I was waiting 25 minutes for service. Nobody was. We have a number on the ticket. We know when you ordered. We know when you ordered at 11:03 and your food came out to you at 11:10, you weren't waiting 25 minutes. It blows people's minds because I'll actually come up to them like, no, you weren't.
My funny thing too for me is when people lose stuff and like they've been to maybe 3 bars, 4 bars and they lose stuff and they blame you and your bar that you stole it or your staff stole it and like... Bitch, we don't want your shitty ass iPhone. Like, we don't want it. It's like, why would we be stealing your stuff? Like, I had so many people and then, like, they'll find out that they left somewhere else later and then be, like, with their tail between their legs, be like, I'm sorry.
Well, we had it once. I was at a bar called El Ocho, which is closed. And somebody actually, an IE, stole the phone and sold it.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, either. It was crazy. And, like, the guy had find my phone, and they, like, tracked it down. They had to fire the IE. The police came the next day because it was on the security cameras. Like, somebody got up to dance or go to the bar, and there was a video, like, a black and white video of the IE taking the phone and giving it to somebody else. So it was, like, 2 people got fired. They were stealing phones from these places.
Okay.
But they worked for the place.
I'll tell a quick story. There's a drunk guy on New Year. Not New Year's. A little bit before New Year's, Christmas, around that time. He came to the bar. He was with a bunch of friends, like a work thing. And the guy got lit. They were lit. They were having fun. And the guy left. I saw him leave with his backpack and all that. Then later he comes back and he's like, I lost my phone here. And I was like, no, you didn't. Right? And then he's like, I did. He gets his iPad. He opens his iPad and he sees it. And it's like, it's here. And I look, no, it was here an hour ago because it was like the Find My iPhone thing, right? So it was here an hour ago. It's no longer here. right? And then I showed him that, and then he realized, oh yeah, the last place was somewhere else near his house. So he gets back on a bicycle, goes back, finds his phone, comes back 15 minutes later, and tells me,
he lost his iPad.
He lost his iPad.
What a dumbass.
Yeah. Anyway, and he was back where he was. I just realized I told this story before. Logan literally like just wrote a note like, you told this story before. I'm like, God damn it.
It was a great story. We actually know who the guy is, too. We found out the whole story. Remember that happened one day? And we're like, oh, shoot. We know exactly it all.
I'm like an old person, man. I'm like, I have like five stories and I go on repeat. Hey, look. There's some new listeners I never heard of before.
It was like, hey, I think it's a funny story. And a construction worker was like, got a phone and an iPad
one
day.
The guy went four or five times back and forth, and then he lost everything he had. Ended up with nothing.
Yeah.
Lost both.
That's so sad.
Yeah, really expensive night.
So, Anna, this leads us to our last segment of the day. Pause for sound effects.
It's drinks I've been drinking.
Drinks I've been drinking.
So, Logan, tell us, what have you been drinking?
Okay, so we both went to this bar last week.
Friday night,
we was out. We had a friend of ours that was in town from Hong Kong. We went to this really cool restaurant, and then we were like, let's get a drink. Let's go find someplace adultish to drink. And we went to this place I'd never been to, but Anna, you've been before.
I've been a couple times.
Called Dentry. Dentry's a very cool, modern bar. It's put on by this really interesting group that does a lot of fun stuff like Cannery, Highline, Nest.
In collaboration with Remy Cointreau. So it's actually like a branded bar as well. They're beautiful and they base themselves on sustainability.
Everything's sustainable. So like our waiter was telling us like for their pineapple drinks, they get pineapples from Cannery that they've already cored and they use they don't waste anything there. They try to reuse and upcycle things. So I naturally got a Vesper.
Not from their menu.
Because I don't really give a shit.
To be honest, I had a Vesper 2 at first, and then I had one of their menu drinks, and it was really good. I had a bone marrow Negroni.
Yes, sounds great.
So the gin was washed with bone marrow fat, and they had all the umami flavors in it. So it was kind of like a umami sweet, very like... it was not really savory because it still have like, you know, that Campari sweetness to it, but it was definitely more on the umami side. So it was all right. Our friend had this grapefruit drink that blew my mind, and I should have paid attention to the ingredients, but it was really good. And a mushroom martini that was really awesome, too. So they're doing great stuff. I think if you guys go online and you search for Dentry Shanghai, you're going to be able to find all their drinks and maybe the menu and all that, probably on Facebook or Instagram or one of those.
Yeah, I think it should be on everything. Smart Shanghai, Fat Shanghai. I mean, it was honestly a really cool experience. I really liked it. I just was having one drink, and I felt like Vesper was the one drink. But it was a very nice Vesper. So I hope they didn't upcycle my gin or vodka, but it was very, very nice.
No, it was botanist for sure.
It was botanist. It was very savory. Like, whatever they used for the instead of Lillet was very interesting.
Oh, you thought it was very savory? I thought it was actually more sweet, and I found it was really interesting.
Yeah, because you asked for an extra olive or something, because you wanted to saltify it. Maybe I thought it was more savory, and I'm just...
But it was definitely
interesting. Or maybe I thought it was more sweet. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting, and I want to find out what the vermouth was. Yeah.
But beautiful place. Like, everybody enjoyed their cocktails a lot, and they had some really cool food options as well. So highly recommend it. It was a cool drink we were drinking.
And very attentive staff, especially with Justin.
Yeah, our friend Justin. They explained every single thing to him. It was really good. Like, they explained it like he was five to everything. It was really cool to see the level of detail they go into. But I think with that, guys. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, subscribe, and we'll be back next week.
We'll catch you next week. Thank you. This is China on the Rocks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.